Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey.
Thanks, Justin.
Church, I'm reminded by the words of this song this morning that I'm not enough unless he comes. And this place isn't enough unless he comes and meets us here again this morning. You know, over the last week, I've talked to a couple of people who were here this past Sunday for Easter, and they said how they've felt the Spirit of the Lord in this place. And praise God, that's amazing, and that's something I hope we don't ever lose, because if we do, it doesn't matter the words that come from this stage. All we'll be able to do is make people feel good. We'll put on a show. But with God's Holy Spirit, we're able to change hearts and change lives. And that's what I want to do this morning. And so as we get ready to pray, I want to invite you to pray with me for the Holy Spirit to come and meet us here again. So would you bow your heads? Father, Lord, we praise you this morning for who you are. That you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and you are our author and our maker and our protector and provider. This morning, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place to meet us here again. Would you use me as your vessel this morning to communicate your word and your truth? And I pray for the people to receive your word and truth this morning, that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear this morning, that you cast out any distractions or anything that's happened this week or this morning, would you get rid of those and allow us to hear your word this morning for you to convict us and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I want to invite you to go ahead and grab a seat. And I just want to welcome you into the room this morning, everybody who is in here and all of those of you tuning in online because it's spring break. I just want to say welcome to the room. We've got so much stuff happening in the life of our city this past week. I know we mentioned earlier the bridge run. I don't know how many of you went and did the bridge run. I don't know how many of you are sore from the bridge run. We got anybody that is sore this morning from the bridge run? Is there anybody that's sore thinking about the bridge run this morning? Yeah, amen. We got more of those hands. Yo, I ran a mile and a half on Friday with my wife, and I'm sore right here. It was just a mile and a half. So I feel your pain, literally. Also, we had one of the biggest events of the year in the town of Somerville this weekend, and that's the Flower Town Festival. That's why I decided to wear my flower shirt. Me and my wife went yesterday, and it was amazing. We went super early, so that way we could beat the traffic. I don't know how many of you guys went later in the day, and it was probably packed walking through the street like this. I went a couple years ago. We did an event to invite people to Easter. I'm tempted to say never again, but man, we actually almost got in a lot of trouble at that event. I brought one of the vert sticks to see how high people could jump, and we almost killed a little kid that day. So we will not bring the vert stick back. But y'all, this morning, as I think about this weekend and I think about the past week that we've had as a church, it was incredible. You mentioned Easter at Awaken last Sunday and how awesome it was. Y'all, I got to talk to people this week whose destiny and legacies forever changed because they accepted Jesus this past Sunday, and it was amazing to hear how special of a moment this past Easter was for them. And praise God. But 2 weeks ago, we keep going back and back. 2 weeks ago was a really special moment for me and my family, because I got the privilege and the opportunity to be ordained right here and to step into the role of Charleston campus pastor. And thank you. Thank you. Y'all, that's not something that I take lightly, and I'm very humbled by that fact and that decision to step into this role. And ultimately, it's just out of a heart of being obedient to the Lord. I just want to be obedient. And I don't know for how long and what position I'll ultimately be up in. I got to pray with somebody at the end of the first service, the same thing. Like, hey, we don't know the destination that we're going to be at one day, but we do know that the direction that we want to head is to run towards Jesus. And so that's what I'm trying to do today. And I'm excited because I want to take some of the things that I've learned as a disciple and a follower of Jesus over the years and to really help our church get better at two things. I would say one, what does it look like to be a disciple? How can each one of us be more like Jesus? And then the second thing would be, what does it look like for us to get better at going and actually making disciples? Each one of us has a different gift and passion and talent. We had Amanda Clark up here on the stage earlier, who's a small group leader, and she's using her giftedness and passion to go and make disciples through small groups. But we've also got so many other ways to do that in kids and production and worship, all these different ways. I would love for us as a church to get better at going and making disciples. Now, I want you to hear me say this. I have not mastered those two things. So I don't want you to hear me say that I'm a master at those two things. I'm learning with you and alongside you. And in fact, if I'm being honest this morning, I would say I'm really not the greatest at any one thing. But I am pretty good at a lot of things. And I think that comes from just, I'm a learner. I love to learn and to grow and try new things and do new things. And I think back to how I grew up, which was playing sports. I played sports pretty much year round. I would go from basketball and then baseball. Year round, I did travel ball and I loved being coached. And the best way I was coached was actually when they would yell at me and get in my face and tell me I suck. I know that's strange, but that's how I received feedback. Now, I'm not telling you guys to do that this morning. Don't do that this morning. Please don't yell at me and give me harsh feedback. You can give me good feedback. But I think as I learn best, I'll be honest, I learn best by screwing things up and messing up. Anybody else in here learn the hard way? Like to learn the hard way? Yeah, I see a couple wives touching their husbands. Please stop that. I don't know where Jake, Mindy, I saw that. I'm just messing. I told Jake I was gonna call him out during the service, so I had to do that. But I learned best the hard way, y'all. And as I've thought about this message and thinking, what example could I share with you? I thought of a lot of examples, some funny, some really good, some maybe not appropriate. But here's where I landed. I got inspired last week when Pastor Brandon was up here preaching. He showed a picture of him and his siblings, and it was in preparation for Easter. Every year, he said, every year his mom would dress them in matching, coordinating outfits, and he was so embarrassed by this picture right here. And I want you guys to know this, that Pastor Brandon isn't here today. And so I get to do whatever I want. So I wanted to show that picture. I felt like for some of you maybe who weren't here, you deserve to see that. And while Pastor Brandon does look pretty embarrassing, I actually feel worse for his brother, Blake, right here in the front. Blake's one of my best friends, and so I had to shout him out too. Y'all, look at that haircut, just right across there and then down. Ugh. I'm sorry, Blake, but I had to do that to you as well. This morning, as I think about that picture and showing you guys, I feel like, man, I couldn't just show that and then not show an embarrassing picture of me. So when I talked about learning lessons the hard way, one of the lessons that I learned growing up was that the skateboarding look was not for me. This is me in seventh grade. What you don't see is the tight pants that I had on, and yo, this was so embarrassing. I can't believe I showed y'all that, but here's the deal. If we're being honest in the room, we all have embarrassing middle school pictures. Don't act like you don't. I'm just brave enough to show you guys. So if you're brave, I want to challenge you to show yourself in middle school this week on social media. You can tag me, our church. I want to see how many people do this. I challenge the first service too, and we'll see if they do it. But guys, as I learn lessons in my life, that's a silly one. One of the lessons I learned that took me a lot longer to learn was that, man, I just wanted to fit in, to be liked, to be accepted by people. I was willing to be whoever and say whatever and do whatever to just fit into a group of people. And I believe if you're being honest with yourself in the room this morning, you would say you've been in the same place, or maybe you're at the same place in your life right now. And this morning, what I want to do is look at somebody in Scripture who navigated a lot of these same feelings, these same thoughts. This guy was in a group of the most religious people, the most respected people, and the wisest people of his time. And I feel like it's in pursuit of some of these feelings and some of these same things that he would do some things that he would later come to regret. And he had to learn the hard way that what he was pursuing was wrong. And I believe it's in the pursuit of all of these wrong things that the one right thing was pursuing him. And so this morning, I want to take a look at how can we take this wrong pursuit of ours and turn it into the right purpose for our lives. So I've titled today's message, Pursuit to Purpose. And the guy I'm talking about today is a guy who you probably know by the name of Paul. Paul's one of the most famous people in the Bible, so I'm sure that you've probably heard of his name. But what maybe you didn't know was his history and his past. And before his name was Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul was a bad dude, y'all. He had a story, I was gonna say similar to mine, but I'm not that bad. What we learn about Saul is first in Acts 7. So we see Saul introduced into scripture and into the story in Acts 7. We're gonna be reading through Acts 7, the tail end of it. I'm gonna summarize the first part. And then we'll be in Acts 9 as well today. We've got a lot of reading to do. It's gonna be great. But what I wanna look at is the introduction of Saul. And the introduction of Saul is actually into the story of Stephen. And Stephen is a young preacher who at this point in his journey had just been laid hands on and ordained and sent out to go teach, preach, and heal people. And it's in pursuit of this that God's blessing his ministry and people are being saved and healed. But the religious leaders of the time were not happy. So they catch wind of this and they get pretty upset with Stephen. And so they actually devise a plan that, hey, we're gonna go set Stephen up and we're gonna take him out. Pretty much the same way we took out Jesus. And so what they do is they provide some false witnesses to say that what he was saying was blasphemous, which is a crime punishable by death. And so they set him up, and it's at this trial that Stephen is given an opportunity to speak his mind. And what I love about Stephen is, man, he didn't hold anything back. He told them like it was. And honestly, in my prayer to come up here today, that was some of my heart, is like, hey, give me the boldness of Stephen to speak to somebody in the room today, not something that maybe sounds good or would make me be liked, but something that's from your word and something that needs to be spoken to somebody today. And so what we see happening is out of their anger and frustration, they set Stephen up, they put him on trial, and that's where we pick up here is he responds by saying, he calls them out for all their hypocrisy that they have. He says, it's actually, in fact, your anger and rage that led to Jesus's death. So the religious leaders hear this and they are not happy. And unfortunately for Stephen, they have influence and they have power and they don't like what he's saying. So that's where we pick up in verse 54. So if you'll read along with me in your Bible or on the screens, it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him and dragged him out into the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold their sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. See, here we see Saul commissioning the murder of a follower of Jesus. So today I want to look at four things that we can learn from the life of Saul, and four things total, three from the life of Saul and one from the life of Paul. So the first thing that we see from the life of Saul is that Saul was pursued by God. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. See, God at a young age in Saul's life was laying the framework and the foundation that would someday allow him to lay down his past and pick up what would be his future. But like many of us, Saul was hard of hearing. I don't know if anyone else in the room is hard of hearing. I have to speak a little bit louder this morning. But like many of us, Saul was hard of hearing, but God was pursuing Saul. See, his introduction into scripture is him overseeing the murder of a follower of Jesus. But I want to draw your attention back to just a few moments before Stephen's execution. And something that happens and something that he says is so powerful. And it says they laid their coats down at the feet of a young man named Saul. And when they were doing this, is what they were saying is that, hey, we want to take this stoning, Saul, from just a stoning to an execution. So we need your approval to do this because Saul was, like I said, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the religious leaders. And without hesitation, Saul gives them the nod of approval to go ahead. And so the stoning begins to intensify. And Stephen says something, y'all, that's just so powerful. He says something that I've only seen one other time in scripture. But with rocks being hurled at him, he says these few but powerful words. And he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold their sin against them." In other words, don't count this one against them. They don't know what they're doing. And like I said, those words are really only echoed one other time in scripture where we see somebody saying them to the very people who are killing them. And that's in Luke 23. We see Jesus being hung up on a cross, really accused for the same thing as Stephen, blasphemy. He was falsely accused and he was hung up on a cross. And before that, he was beaten to an inch of his life. And he was mocked and he was spit and he was paraded through the town. And he even had to carry his own cross. And what happens on that cross is he's being hung and killed. He looks at the very people doing it and he says these words in Luke 23, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I'm shocked and blown away. I could not imagine how he could say those words to those people doing that. But in this moment, Jesus is laying the groundwork for the very people who are killing him to one day turn and receive his forgiveness. And it's in this moment, he wants them to hear as they're killing him that he's never gonna stop coming after them. And the same words we see used to pursue those who are killing Jesus, we now see used by Saul or by Stephen to show that Saul, to show Saul that God will not stop pursuing him. So God was in pursuit of Saul, even in the very moment that he was killing Stephen. And see, God was in pursuit of Saul in the very moment, in the very middle of his sin. And I believe that somebody in the room probably needs to hear that this morning. How many of us have thought the thought at one point, or maybe thinking it today, that I can't come to God. God doesn't love me. He doesn't know what I've done in my past or what I've walked through or the shame or the regret, the things that I've done or maybe currently doing. And maybe what's keeping you from stepping into a relationship with God is this idea of, I just need to clean myself up before I come to God. Once I stop drinking, once I stop sleeping around, once I stop doing all these things, then I'll come to God. But see, that's not true in Saul's life. We didn't see that happen in Saul's life. God pursued him anyways, even in the middle of his sin. And so I want you to know that if that doesn't apply to Saul, why should that apply to you? See, Saul wasn't ready to hear it though in this moment, but can you hear it this morning? Or better yet, can you believe it this morning? I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. I want to look at what else we can learn from the life of Saul, and it's this, that you cannot determine, or you do not determine the legacy that you receive, but you do determine the legacy that you leave. Or another way to say it is, hey, we don't get a say in the legacy that we receive, but we do have a say in the legacy that we leave. See, some of us in the room maybe received a legacy of something when we were born into, the families that we were born into, or the neighborhoods that we grew up in. Maybe that legacy is, man, my family, they're alcoholics. I can think back 5 generations to the men in my family who all they did was drink. Or maybe you have a legacy of abuse in your family, and it's mental, emotional, physical. There's abuse in your family, and you feel like that defines who you are. That's where you've come from. That's what you know. Or maybe you were taught to not trust anybody that doesn't look like you, think like you, or act like you. this morning, what I want you to see is that we don't determine the legacy that we receive. It's given to us. And just like Saul, he received a legacy of hate. When he was born, he was taught to hate the people that followed Jesus. But see, we do have a say in the legacy that we're gonna leave though, right? Now I wanna look at Saul's life and unpack this a little bit more, because in Acts 7, we saw that when he got introduced, this was a moment in his life that defined him. He was a murderer of someone following Jesus, but really less than a year later, God pursues his heart. Again, I wanna look at it in Acts 9, because I believe that God presents Saul with another opportunity. So at this point in Saul's life, he's known for killing Christians and he's earned quite the reputation. In Acts 9, it says that Saul was still breathing out the murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And with that anger, Saul gets permission from the high priest to go to Damascus and round up all the Christian followers and to bring them into prison. And it's on this journey that we pick up in verse 3, and it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he replied, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, for they heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. Now see, these verses continue, and we see that God goes ahead of Saul to Damascus and tells a man named Ananias to be on the lookout for Saul. But Ananias is terrified because he knows who Saul is. He knows his past and his reputation. Are you kidding me? You want me to be on the lookout for this guy? I don't know about some of you guys, but maybe you've had some people in your life that maybe you felt God put on your heart to go and reach out to them or talk to them. But you're like, I don't know, God, that dude, he's far from God. I don't know, maybe I misheard you. You know, maybe in my prayer time, you meant to say Paul, but you said Saul. I've been there. I've experienced that. I went to college at the Charleston Southern and played football there. And I had some guys on my team who were far from God. And I was far from God at one point, but somebody pursued me. And then I pursued other people. And what happens in this verse is Ananias is afraid, but I love his obedience to what God's telling him. So listen to how God responds to Ananias in verse 15. He says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. See, God had a purpose for Saul's life, and he was gonna do whatever he had to do to get into Saul's heart and to give Saul a chance to really change his legacy. You know that God is willing to do whatever it takes to get in front of you, to get a hold of you and to shake you and say, look, I'm trying to pursue you. This leads to the third thing that we can learn from the life of Saul. And it's that you and I could be one decision away from changing our lives. I believe that this morning. Today could be the day that you stop running from God. See, Saul was on the road to Damascus and with it carrying what he believed to be significant purpose. He was going to rid that city of Christ followers, and sounded like a pretty good purpose to him and the people that he surrounded himself with at the time. But he was mistaken and ultimately had to learn the hard way. But see, hear me when I say this. We should not confuse activity with purpose. See, we can be doing things, but not really doing things. And we shouldn't confuse passion with purpose either. See, Saul was busy pursuing what he thought was something of significance, and he had built a name for himself. He was important, he was liked, he was well respected, he was successful in the area, in the sphere that he was in. But see, y'all, that pursuit would lead to nothing but emptiness. Because it wasn't in alignment with God's purpose for his life. And see, God is the creator of you and he's the creator of me. And so see, God gets to determine our purpose, not us, right? What I want us to hear this morning is that, man, maybe you're in a career, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're in something that you think is significant. Maybe you're building a following for yourself, or maybe it's disguised as good purpose. Oh, there's good intentions there. But ultimately what you're doing is it's for you and not for God. It's not in alignment with God's purpose for your life. And I want to pick up in verse 17. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And from that moment, Saul made a decision that changed his life and his legacy forever." You see, what we see in the life of Saul is this, that Saul was pursued by God. Saul made a decision that changed his life, and with that, changed his legacy forever. Jesus' encounter with Saul would change his life forever. In those early years of studying scripture and really learning from the best teachers in the land, because see, Saul, he actually grew up in a Jewish household, but he was a Roman citizen, so his family was well off. And so as Saul was growing up, he learned from the best rabbis, the best teachers, and he had the best education. And so he knew the scripture and the Old Testament. But now as he's following Jesus, everything's changed for him. Now he's filtering all the Old Testament scriptures through the lens of Jesus. And so he developed a hunger for Jesus, and he would go on to do so many things for Jesus. And honestly, this hunger, maybe some of you guys have experienced around some people around you. They first get saved and they start following Jesus, and then they're a little weird. It's kind of like, why are you so excited about this thing? I've been there, I've done the same thing. And we've probably all done the same thing. But the thing about Saul is that never wore off. He kept it. And so this hunger of following Jesus, actually to the apostles, was a little scary because they thought he was trying to get in undercover and take him out. So they devised a plan to kill him and take him out. But luckily, that didn't happen. But see, Saul would go on to continue to preach and teach and would ultimately change the hearts of those people who at one point doubted Saul. And what's cool is he would go on to help other people change their doubts about Jesus. And in Acts 13, we see Saul is now called Paul. And we don't know the exact reasons why, but what we do know is that the legacy that Saul had received had been laid to rest, and now this new legacy of following Jesus came with a new name. And what I want us to see is that Paul was no longer operating out of activity, but he was operating in his purpose. See, Paul would go on to write a majority of the New Testament letters, and he would go on to plant a majority of the churches that would spread Christianity across the Roman Empire. And sometimes, man, you and I, we can get caught up in the rat race of life, right? We can get caught up and confused with this activity, which we confuse with our purpose. But see, a busy life does not always equal a well-lived life. What if for just a moment we were to ask ourselves this question? What long-term impact am I making on the lives of others for the benefit of Jesus? Say that one more time. Say, what long-term impact am I making on the lives of others for the benefit of Jesus? Now, the fourth thing that we can learn from the life of Saul, and the first thing we can learn from the life of Paul, is that God has purpose for your life. And I'll say it this way. Until you let God love the Saul inside of you, you will never discover the Paul inside of you. See, God has a purpose for your life. I believe that this morning. We say it from this stage all the time. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And as a local church, we want to help come alongside you to see that come to life. But see, what trips so many of us up is that whatever happened in our past, whatever mistakes or sins, we let that hang us up, don't we? It's like, ah, man, that used to define me, that thing. It labels me. We love labels. But here's what I want you to see this morning. Jesus' words on the cross, the same to you and the same to me, he's saying, look, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they were doing. I'm here now. Please just receive my love this morning. See, we have to allow God to love the worst versions of ourselves. Because when we do that, we open the door of possibility for our future. See, on the road to Damascus, Saul had an encounter with God, and this time he allowed God to love him. But see, a game of tug of war, y'all, never ends until somebody drops the rope, right? We can be fighting and pulling and pulling, but ultimately the game doesn't end until it crosses the line and one person drops it. That day on the road to Damascus, Saul decided to drop the rope and he stopped fighting to defend the mistakes of his past and he allowed God into his life. See, some of us are fighting to defend the mistakes of our past, right? Maybe you've chosen to believe the lie that God can't use somebody like you. And look, the mess, the past, whatever it is, it may look different for each one of us. Maybe it's an addiction that has labeled you and you can't seem to shake it. That's something that's either happened in your past or is currently happening now. And you're saying, I can't be used by God. Or maybe, I talked to somebody earlier today, maybe it was a divorce that you went through. And now you feel like, I can't be used by God because that's not supposed to be a good thing. The Bible talks against that. And so that has labeled you in the past and you're saying, I can't be used by God now. How can I lead a group if I've gone through something like that? Or maybe it's something that you're too ashamed to even tell anybody about. Maybe you're just hiding and keeping it inside and you're too scared to tell somebody because you think you're gonna be judged and they won't accept you. But God accepts you and he says, Father, they didn't know what they were doing. You don't have to defend the mistakes of your past anymore, guys. Jesus was pursuing you and is pursuing you. Listen to what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. And he says these words, and I believe they matter more because Paul wrote them. And no one else could have written these words any better than Paul or with more conviction than Paul. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God sees potential in us when we can't even see it in ourselves. And what I want you to hear me say this morning is that until you let God love the Saul inside of you, you will never discover the Paul inside of you. And look, this morning, I want you to hear me say, there is a Paul inside of you. I believe that there is a future inside of you. I believe that there is healing available to somebody in the room this morning. There's love, there's mercy, there's forgiveness. You just gotta accept it. And I believe that there's a future for somebody in the room this morning, and there is freedom available for somebody in the room this morning. So I wanna give you an opportunity. I wanna ask that you would consider dropping the rope and put the shame and the pain of your past aside and let God begin a new work in you this morning. So I wanna talk to two people in the room this morning. I believe there's somebody in here who would say, I've never made the decision to follow Jesus. I've never dropped the rope and I've been fighting to defend the mistakes of my past and I'm labeled by this. But today, God's speaking to you and he's saying, look, it's okay. I forgive you. Just accept my love on the cross for you. I wanna pray for you today. And for the other people in the room, maybe you're here and you're hearing this message and you're a Christian, you're a believer. That's awesome. But are you operating out of your purpose for your life? Maybe it's a career, or relationship, a place that you're going that you haven't dedicated to the Lord and you haven't asked the Lord, is this your will for my life? I want to pray for you too, to give you an opportunity to drop the rope and say, God, you take control of my life. So for all of us in the room, I want to ask that you would bow your heads and you would pray with me. Father God, this morning, I hope that the message that was communicated was that you love us. Even in the midst of our sin, you came and you loved us. And you died on the cross for us. And we didn't do anything for it. Nothing. We didn't do anything. Our response is to just receive this gift and this love. And so I want to pray for somebody in the room this morning to receive that this morning. If you want to step into a relationship with Jesus, just pray this prayer. Say, God, I know that I have sinned and I have made mistakes in my life. I know that I've done some things and that has identified me and labeled me, but today I want to drop the rope and I want to step into a relationship with you, and I believe you, that you came to die for me and my sins. Believe that you were put in a tomb and on the third day that you rose. And because you rose, you defeated the grave, and now I have right standing in relationship with you, Lord. And I pray from this day forward, I will surrender my life and make you the Lord and Savior of my life. Now for the rest of us in the room who you would say you're a Christian and you're following the Lord, but maybe you've drifted away and maybe now you're in a place that you look back on and say, you know what, I didn't go to you, God. I don't know if this is in alignment with your purpose for my life. Give us an opportunity to respond to that today, Lord. I pray for that person in the room that they could make a statement, a declaration today as they pray and say, you know what? Today I want to pray for what's next in my life. What do you have next for me, Lord? How can I use my skills and my talents and my gifts to go and make disciples? Who are those people around me that are far from you but close to me? So Lord, we are just so humbled to be here today. I thank you for the opportunity to get to share your word and your gospel. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Now look, church, look up. I want to give you an opportunity to respond today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, praise God. I'm so excited. Can we just actually celebrate somebody in the room this morning who did that? I know I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but I'm asking you now to let somebody know, to do something with that decision. And so those cards that are on your seat, you can fill it out and say, today I've decided to follow Jesus. And we want to help you take that decision and turn it into a journey. That's what we want to do here. So you can fill it out and turn it in with someone at our resource table out in the foyer. Now for the rest of us, I believe you have a response as well. Maybe it's to get up and be prayed over. Maybe it's to submit something to God on the cross. Maybe you want to drop something that has labeled you. I want to invite you to go back to the cross and put it up. Or maybe it's to take communion and say, God, I remember what you did for me. This morning, we all have a response. And so I want to ask as we get ready to worship that you would respond however the Lord leads you. Thank you, church.